Today is the 13th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is fantastic to be here with you today. A joy to come around the global campfire together and continue moving day by day, step by step, week by week, month by month on our journey through the Bible this year. Today will lead us back into the book of Jeremiah, which we've been working our way through. When we get to the New Testament, we will arrive at the doorstep to another letter known as 2 Thessalonians. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But first, we're reading from the New Living Translation this week, Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 1 through 23, verse 20. This is what the Lord said to me. Go over and speak directly to the king of Judah. Say to him, listen to this message from the Lord, you king of Judah, sitting on David's throne. Let your attendants and your people listen too. This is what the Lord says. Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. Stop murdering the innocent. If you obey me, there will always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne here in Jerusalem. The king will ride through the palace gates in chariots and on horses, with his parade of attendants and subjects. But if you refuse to pay attention to this warning, I swear by my own name, says the Lord, that this palace will become a pile of rubble. Now this is what the Lord says concerning Judah's royal palace. I love you as much as fruitful Gilead and the green forests of Lebanon, but I will turn you into a desert with no one living within your walls. I will call for wreckers who will bring out their tools to dismantle you. They will tear out all your fine cedar beams and throw them on the fire. People from many nations will pass by the ruins of this city and say to one another, why did the Lord destroy such a great city? And the answer will be, because they violated their covenant with the Lord their God by worshiping other gods. Do not weep for the dead king or mourn his loss. Instead, weep for the captive king being led away. For he will never return to see his native land again. For this is what the Lord says about Jehoahaz, who succeeded his father, King Josiah, and was taken away as a captive. He will never return. He will die in a distant land and will never again see his own country. And the Lord says, what sorrow awaits Jehoiakim, who builds his palace with forced labor. He builds injustice into its walls, for he makes his neighbors work for nothing. He does not pay them for their labor. He says, I will build a magnificent palace with huge rooms and many windows. I will panel it throughout with fragrant cedar and paint it a lovely red. But a beautiful cedar palace does not make a great king. Your father, Josiah, also had plenty to eat and drink, but he was just and right in all his dealings. That is why God blessed him. He gave justice and help to the poor and needy, and everything went well for him. Isn't that what it means to know me? Says the Lord. But you have eyes only for greed and dishonesty. You murder the innocent, oppress the poor, and reign ruthlessly. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about Jehoiakim, son of King Josiah. The people will not mourn for him, crying to one another, alas, my brother, alas, my sister. His subjects will not mourn for him, crying, alas, Our master is dead. Alas, his splendor is gone. He will be buried like a dead donkey, dragged out of Jerusalem and dumped outside the gates. Weep for your allies in Lebanon. Shout for them in Bashan. Search for them in the regions east of the river. See, they are all destroyed. Not one is left to help you. I warned you when you were prosperous, but you replied, "Don't bother me." You have been that way since childhood. You simply will not obey me. And now the wind will blow away your allies. All your friends will be taken away as captives. Surely then, you will see your wickedness and be ashamed. It may be nice to live in a beautiful palace, paneled with wood from the cedars of Lebanon, but soon you will groan with pangs of anguish. Anguish like that of a woman in labor. As surely as I live, says the Lord, I will abandon you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Even if you were the signet ring on my right hand, I would pull you off. I will hand you over to those who seek to kill you, those you so desperately fear, to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and the mighty Babylonian army. I will expel you and your mother from this land, and you will die in a foreign country, not in your native land. You will never again return to the land you yearn for. Why is this man, Jehoiakim, like a discarded broken jar? Why are he and his children to be exiled to a foreign land? Oh, earth! Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Let the record show that this man, Jehoiakim, was childless. He is a failure, for none of his children will succeed him on the throne of David to rule over Judah. What sorrow awaits the leaders of my people, the shepherds of my sheep, for they have destroyed and scattered the very ones they were expected to care for, says the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to these shepherds. Instead of caring for my flock and leading them to safety, you have deserted them and driven them to destruction. Now I will pour out judgment on you for the evil you have done to them. But I will gather together the remnant of my flock from the countries where I have driven them. I will bring them back to their own sheepfold, and they will be fruitful and increase in number. Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them, and they will never be afraid again. Not a single one will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. In that day, says the Lord, when people are taking an oath, they will no longer say, "As surely as the Lord lives, who rescued the people of Israel from the land of Egypt." Instead, they will say, "As surely as the Lord lived, who brought the people of Israel back to their own land from the land of the north and from all the countries to which he had exiled them." And they will live in their own land. My heart is broken because of the false prophets, and my bones tremble. I stagger like a drunkard, like someone overcome by wine, because of the holy words the Lord has spoken against them. For the land is full of adultery, and it lies under a curse. The land itself is in mourning. Its wilderness pastures are dried up, for they all do evil and abuse what power they have. Even the priests and prophets are ungodly, wicked men. I have seen their despicable acts right here in my own temple, says the Lord. Therefore, the paths they take will become slippery. They will be chased through the dark, and there they will fall. For I will bring disaster upon them at the time fixed for their punishment. I, the Lord, have spoken. I saw that the prophets of Samaria were terribly evil, for they prophesied in the name of Baal and led my people of Israel into sin. But now I see that the prophets of Jerusalem are even worse. They commit adultery and love dishonesty. They encourage those who are doing evil so that no one turns away from their sins. These prophets are as wicked as the people of Sodom and Gomorrah once were. Therefore, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says concerning the prophets. I will feed them with bitterness and give them poison to drink. For it is because of Jerusalem's prophets that wickedness has filled this land. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says to his people. Do not listen to these prophets when they prophesy to you, filling you with futile hopes. They are making up everything they say. They do not speak for the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise my word, don't worry. The Lord says you will have peace. And to those who stubbornly follow their own desires, they say, no harm will come your way. Have any of these prophets been in the Lord's presence to hear what he is really saying? Has even one of them cared enough to listen? Look, the Lord's anger bursts out like a storm, a whirlwind that swirls down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not diminish until it is finished all he has planned. In the days to come, you will understand all this very clearly. Okay, so as we mentioned at the beginning, today we are moving into new territory now that we've reached the New Testament. We read 1 Thessalonians, and so this is 2 Thessalonians, so a letter to the same church in Thessalonica, the same church that emerged and evolved very rapidly under intense pressure and an intense persecution. And Paul didn't get to spend the kind of time that he wanted to spend with them. And so we saw that in the first letter that was written. Now we're at the second letter. And it's safe to mention because it's easy to know that this letter's been debated for a very, very long time among biblical scholars. Generally because there are some nuances that aren't in Paul's other letters, some theological nuances. The tone is a little bit different. So some people look and go, well, this seems like it'd be later. There are other letters like this that are attributed to Paul that feel this way. Not because they don't agree with what Paul's theology is or that they're not like, that they couldn't have been written by Paul, but because it seems like development in the church is in the letters in a way that wasn't maybe in Paul's lifetime. And so there's this speculation. Of course, none of us here were there. So all of these things are speculation, and there's an awful lot to speculate about in the Bible. Well, one thing we can say about 2 Thessalonians, regardless of any kind of debate, it's a very, very ancient letter. The early church fathers affirmed the letter, quoted the letter in their own writings. So this has been part of the story for a very long time. And so assuming that Paul wrote this letter in his lifetime, that what we're seeing is Paul's desire to clarify things that he didn't have time to clarify and to answer questions that are coming to him from the church and to offer correction when correction is needed, whether that be interpersonal correction in the church or whether there's like an incorrect doctrine happening, and that is the case in 2 Thessalonians. For example, Paul's teachings in his letters, like It's not like an ambiguous thing. The early church believed that the arrival of Jesus, his return, was imminent, literally like in their lifetimes, any day, any second. And so that would make certain people then go, well, I'm going to stop life as I have previously known it and wait, because this could, I'm going to be ready. This could happen at any time. And so what that would lead to is that people would stop working, quit their jobs, stop providing for themselves, stop being a contributor into the community, kind of lean on everybody else and live idly, which then led to boredom, which then led to gossip and meddling in other people's business. And so Paul, in this letter, kind of lays it out like, yeah, you can't leech off each other. That's not how this works. If you don't want to work, then I guess you don't want to eat. And another thing we'll find in this letter is, when you think about this, these are baby Christians in Thessalonica. And they didn't have a lot of time to be poured into. And so they have what they have, and they're trying to live into their faith, and they're trying to be ready and waiting for Jesus' arrival. And they get word, like, communication comes in through the church that it already happened. Jesus came, and they missed it. Which is a horrible thing to say to a baby congregation of baby Christians, like, you missed it. Ugh. And so Paul, of course, sets the record straight that he didn't say that. He wouldn't say that. It's not true. And he really wants to encourage them. Again, he didn't have a whole lot of time with them. They were persecuted from the get-go. They are still being persecuted and marginalized. They aren't particularly wealthy enough to really defend themselves in any kind of social way. They don't have a lot. They just have a lot of love and a lot of hope in Jesus. And so he loves them. He wants to encourage them. Encourage them to take the long view. Justice belongs to God. And God sees those who are faithful to him. And justice in the end will prevail. And so we get this glimpse again. These letters really give us, since they're like letters written to specific churches about specific things, we get this glimpse into what's going on in the early church. And 2 Thessalonians gives us a view of baby Christians under fire trying to be faithful. And so we begin. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Dear brothers and sisters, we can't help but thank God for you, because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. God will use this persecution to show his justice and to make you worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. In his justice, he will pay back those who persecute you. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe, and this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of His call. May He give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with Him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 83. A song. A psalm of Asaph. O God, do not be silent. Do not be deaf. Do not be quiet, O God. Don't you hear the uproar of your enemies? Don't you see that your arrogant enemies are rising up? They devise crafty schemes against your people. They conspire against your precious ones. Come, they say, let us wipe out Israel as a nation. We will destroy the very memory of its existence. Yes, this was their unanimous decision. They signed a treaty as allies against you, these Edomites and Ishmaelites, Moabites and Hagarites, Gebalites, Ammonites and Amalekites, and people from Philistia and Tyre. Assyria has joined them too and is allied with the descendants of Lot. Do to them as you did to the Midianites and as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the Kishon River. They were destroyed at Endor and their decaying corpses fertilized the soil. Let their mighty nobles die as Oreb and Zeb did. Let all their princes die like Zeba and Zalmunna, for they said, let us seize for our own use these pasture lands of God. Oh my God, scatter them like tumbleweed, like chaff before the wind. As a fire burns a forest, and as a flame sets mountains ablaze, chase them with your fierce storm. Terrify them with your tempest. Utterly disgrace them until they submit to your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and terrified forever. Let them die in disgrace. Then they will learn that you alone are called the Lord, that you alone are the Most High, supreme over all the earth. Proverbs 25:11-14. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. To one who listens, valid criticism is like a gold earring or other gold jewelry. Trustworthy messengers refresh like snow in summer. They revive the spirit of their employer. A person who promises a gift but doesn't give it is like clouds and wind that bring no rain. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for this tangible gift that we can actually hold in our hands. If we so choose, we thank you that no matter how murky or cloudy things get, we have a tangible gift. Even if technology fails, we have a tangible gift. But thank you for this technology that binds us together and has allowed us to be together every single day for these, well, almost 16 straight years. Thank you. Thank you for the scriptures and the way that they speak into our lives and all the different nuances and complexions. Thank you for this letter, this second letter to the Thessalonians. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Thank you for this book of Jeremiah that we are working our way through. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Guide and direct our steps. Transform us. Change us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base, of course. It's where you find out what's going on around here, and it's good to know what's going on around here, so check it out. Check out the different sections, like the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are a number of categories in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, with resources in those categories that are for the journey that we are taking through the year together and through the Bible together. Things like the Daily Audio Bible Journal, which we have fashioned, over a couple of iterations to perfect. Things like the Blackwing pencils that are perfect for journaling with. That's what I used to journal with. Written resources like the God of Your Story. Things to wear, things to drink, like the Daily Audio Bible Wind Farm coffee and tea, and a number of different varietals that we will send fresh to you. You can even have them sent once a month, each month, if you like. So there are a number of resources that certainly everything throws a little bit of a log on the global campfire, but they are designed and crafted for the journey that we are on together. So check out the shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what's happening here is life-giving and brings encouragement into your days, if being in community together, working our way through the scriptures, is meaningful, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB family, this is Lost in Texas. This is my first time calling. A little over a month ago, I was blindsided with losing my job the day before my birthday. And I've been searching and struggling to understand the reason why God did this, what He has planned for me. And I keep finding something and then it falls through, finding something else and then it falls through. And then I recently found a position that fits all of my needs with a strong Christian company. And I submitted the application for it. I have a friend who knows my potential boss, so they submitted a referral for it. And I've reached out to the boss myself, and I hear nothing. If I heard a no, I'd be able to move on and understand this is not God's plan for me. If I heard a yes, it'd be amazing. But it's the hearing of the nothing that is killing me, and it's making me question things, and it's bringing up all these coping mechanisms that rely on sin that I'm trying to not fall back into. And I just need prayer to make sure that I can stay away from these things. And honestly, I think this job would be perfect if I could just have the opportunity. So please, any prayer you could help me with that would be greatly appreciated.
Father God, we come before you this morning, worshiping you and thanking you in the beautiful morning sunrise. We lift up the prayer request to you, and we offer them as a sweet incense to you, Father God. We are lifting up Running for Christ, who needs a position close to home. He is serving and protecting the community around where he lives, Father. And we ask you to open up the opportunity for him to be able to be close to home and not waste so much time driving so far away to his job. His little songbird, Wanda, is in the hospital, Father God, and we are praying for strength and healing, Father God, over Wanda. On the prayer wall, Daryl has asked for prayers for his 14-year-old daughter with cyclic vomiting. Father God, we are asking you to pour healing into this young girl's stomach. Heal her organs, Father God. Allow this vomiting to stop and let her body naturally work the way you have intended for it to be. Andrea is asking for prayers for her daughter, Rain, who is not walking with God, for her son, Jaden, and his friend, Ethan, with bipolar, and her friend, Antonia, with the vision impairment. Father God, we call Rain back into the fold, Father God. She is a prodigal, Lord, and we're calling her name, Father God. We're lifting that name. You see her, Father God. Direct her back, Lord, and let her humble herself before you and ask for salvation's plan, and let her walk uprightly, righteous before you, Father God. Heal the bipolar and heal the vision. Lord, I bow before you this morning with a few additional prayers for the weekly call-ins and the prayer wall. Father God, I'm lifting up his little Cherie before the throne of grace today. She is experiencing fear, Father God, and I ask the Holy Spirit to permeate completely through her and dispel that fear that is not of God and place it with peace that passes all understanding. I know this scripture is used many, many times, and we believe in its power. She is in fear of what's going on in her body and has apprehension for the drugs they're wanting to start. Father God, we are asking for wisdom to come to the doctors. If there's an alternative way to deal with this, we are asking for second opinions. We are asking, Lord, for you to give his little Cherie the assurance of what path she is supposed to go on next. Under construction is looking for a part-time job for the weekends, Lord. I am asking for you to open up the opportunity for her to find the exact position and job and place that you want her to be in that will fulfill her financial needs above and beyond what her bills are, so that out of her abundance she is able to help others from your gracious provisions. And for the prayer wall for GCOGA, Father God, for a successful colonoscopy, guide the instruments and the doctors. Let them be steady. Let there be no mishaps or side effects or any causes other than having a successful procedure done with good results because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hey, Lisa, this is Spark. I haven't particularly called in. Because, I'm not going to lie, I didn't necessarily know how to call in. I've been praying for you. I'm walking through the grass, bare feet, right now. And I wanted to tell you, I vividly remember when this journey started. And as I was working, I can tell you exactly where I was when this journey started with you. And sister, your power and your strength is delivered by God. And I want you to know that I am so proud of you. I love you. My wife tells me I could talk to a fence post, but I haven't necessarily known how to talk you. So here it goes. I don't rehearse. I believe God has an utter calling for you. I believe that God has used you right now to reach out and touch people and make people think and make people love and make people care for each other. Sister, this life is temporary. All we can do is hope and strive to be good people, and we get to go see our Father. I want you to know that I pray for you every day. I love you, and what an inspiration you are, and I will see you soon. I love you. Be with God.